at the Word of God and get into it tonight. You just follow right on with us as we get in, as we realize that the book of Ephesians, as it talks to us tonight, and it tells us that on the western shore of Asia Minor, in the plain at the mouth of the river Kaiser, on whose southern bank was the city, 300 miles due east of Corinth, 425 miles west of Tarsus, Paul's hometown. The original Ephesus is near the city of Izmir in modern-day Turkey, right in this location, praise God, that we're talking about tonight. And I thank God, I like to quote one of the old men of times past, amen, from the old journey from back in the day, which is Dr. Malcolm Kroc. I thank God that he used to tell us, he says, listen, he says, you can't get holy in a hurry, but you start taking steps in that direction right away. Beg God, put within me some holy motivation, unquote. That's Dr. Malcolm Kroc. That's one of the old time, brother Charles Stanley used to listen to this man and back in the way back days. And so I thank God he's one of my favorites as well, some of the things that he says. But I thank God every one of us as we look at how tonight that the Lord wants us to become holier as we become more disciplined in the ranks of his army, praise God. And I tell you, as we're reminded of Augustine of Hippo, I thank God, you know, Augustine was considered one of the great theologians of church history. But his lifestyle before coming to Christ was rebellious and sensuous. And he was quite the life of the party during that time. One day after becoming a Christian, he was walking in front of a bar that he used to go to frequently. And in front of him, walking toward him, was a prostitute that was smiling. And she assumed that Augustine had finally returned after his ridiculous little phase of religion. And as they approached each other, however, he continued to look forward and he would pass her without even looking at her. And Augustine, she said, "Don't you recognize who you just walked by? It is me." And for a moment he stopped and he turned to her and he simply said, "Yes, but it is no longer me." Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad that it's no longer me that we've been changed. We're no longer the old self, but we're a new creature in Christ. Praise his holy name. And so I thank God. Augustine would say things like this. He said, "Mankind is divided into two sorts, such as live according to man and such as living according to God. The heavenly city outshines Rome, and there instead of victory is truth." Boy, I thank God each and every one of us when we look and realize that the Lord wants us to become holy. And I thank God in order to do that, becoming holy is accomplished by faith, just like salvation is accomplished by faith. You've got to work at it to be more holier. And that's the problem a lot of times as men and women when we go to war and when the obstacle of our enemy in this fight, I tell you, when you come in contact with him, that is the problem that we have because we're not working on becoming holy. We're just trying to maintain who we used to be. But I thank God, Brother David Kahn preached a great message today that he talked about how that each and every one of us, we can either have failure or victory, amen. I added a little bit to it into Facebook a little bit later. You ain't checked it out, check that out a little bit later because he's talking about how Paul was talking about how that even though there's one body, there's two of us in this body. And there's a fight that is going on between the old man and the new man that's been born in Christ Jesus. Amen. I thank God the new man will work every time. But I thank God you've got to continue to feed that that new man over that old man. But here as we get into the Word of God tonight, one of the first obstacles in the Christian faith, as we said, is that every one of us, we're in a war zone. And our enemies is the name of that. And so I thank God his name is the devil. He's the slanderer. He's the accuser of the brethren. We get this word and all of a sudden we realize what he tries to do, amen, to every one of us, amen. Our enemy's name and our enemy's nature. He says that we're in a war zone. And so each and every one of us, when we go through life today, I'm glad that I was reading about George C. Patton back in World War II concerning him. And I thank God one of the things is he was talking about a spiritual enemy because each and every one of us have a spiritual enemy. Our battle is with an unseen army of spiritual enemies led by the devil himself. And since our enemy is a spiritual enemy, some might wonder how that we go about knowing how to fight him. Well, the story started with General George C. Patton. basically Patton's troops and tanks were engaged in a successful counterattack of German forces under General Erwin Rommel. And one of the things that General Patton, is reported to have shouted into the thick of the battle, he said, "I read your book, Rommel. I read your book." And I thank God that he did, because in Rommel's book, Infantry Attacks, the Desert Fox had detailed his military strategy. And Patton, having read it, knew what to expect and planned his moves accordingly. Satan has authored and has fully exposed our enemy's tactics in his holy word, amen. You've got to study it. You've got to plan your defense. And the key to no book but God defeating the devil is understanding how he works. And the secret to that is reading about him in the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This is for free. This ain't my scripture yet, because we're in the book of Ephesians. Amen. But the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, I thank God. Listen, every one of us, we see that there's an obstacle of our enemy in this fight. And you are in a war zone. Praise God. Here, every one of us, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I thank God, every one of us, I don't know about you, but have you ever run through an obstacle course before and realized how much it wears and tears on you? Boy, I thank God, you know what? You know why they make a soldier run 2 miles in such and such time? Let me tell you why. Because when you get overrun by the enemy, you've got to turn around and run back to the rear and get to safety, and you got to do it in so much time or you're going to lose your life. Listen, if you ain't got a plan, if you don't know, and if you ain't got the endurance, you're going to be killed and you're going to be left behind. But I thank God the obstacle is our enemy in this fight. And I thank God the Bible makes it very clear that our goal as Christian soldiers is that of standing, praise God. I thank God we've got to be able to stand. But he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Because the source of our energy, I thank God, that we have. Let me back up again. That source of our energy, we're told, is not within ourselves. It's good to know, because there are times when our energy runs low. And we're told, however, that we're to be strong in the Lord. Amen. And I thank God, and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. This means that we're to draw our strength from the power of his might. And that sounds, I thank God, listen, on the surface, that when you understand that the word might means force, it means strength and ability. And the word power refers to God's dominion and sovereignty and ability to exercise his power. Then it's easy to see how the Lord can strengthen and energize those who place their trust in him. And so we see the source of our energy, praise God. Thank God, as believers, faith in God, that the Lord's power becomes the power of that believer. And if the church would ever grasp in the truth that we're strong as that in which we trust, it would revolutionize this world across America today. I thank God. Let me give you a simple illustration. Listen, I can't fly, but I put myself in an airplane and I yield that power that it has, and suddenly I have the ability to soar into the air, you know, because of that plane. I can't run 65 miles an hour, but I can get into a car and I can yield to its power. Suddenly I have the ability to achieve speeds that I could never achieve on my own. You know what? Yeah, that's some poor illustrations. But when my faith is in God and in his power, then his strength becomes my strength. And his power becomes my power. And that's why the Bible says what it does to those who live by faith. Hallelujah. As Paul said, "Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all," listen, "that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." Amen. Boy, praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, our strength and our energy, it enables us to stand so that when the battles are over and we go home to be with the Lord in his heaven, we can leave this world like Paul did. Praise God. God's power will be our power, and we will be able to stand for him in the day of battle. Hallelujah. For your family. Amen. For your loved ones, that you are the one, you're the last line of defense. Amen. We all know that too many aren't standing and they're falling by the wayside today, and I don't want to fall and I want to stand, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we go through life today, that we've got to be able to stand and use the equipment that he's given us here tonight, amen. And so our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And so I thank God we're dealing with God's household rules pertaining to the relationships that I talked about last time between husbands and wives and parents and children and even householders and servants that I talked about last time because of being submissive men and women of God. And so every one of us, as we look and realize that Paul has been discussing the believer's walk. He started back in Ephesians chapter 4, and he went all the way to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. And now suddenly he jolts every one of us, and he changes course, and he says, here is another way to look at the believer's life in Christ. The believer's life is a battlefield. And immediately upon receiving Christ, the believer finds himself in a constant struggle. You say, man, you mean you're a newborn believer? Man, you know what? Sometimes if the pastor ain't there and somebody to lead you in discipleship, you don't realize what's going on. You say, man, what's happening to me? I mean, I just got saved. I shouldn't be able to fight against the devil. Well, you ain't going the same way the devil is. You're bucking against him now. And so here, as we look and realize that the devil is a combatant, and every one of us, as we're in a conflict, and here he's calling us to take forth and march in the army of the Lord. And every one of us, as we go forward, amen, the Apostle Paul is setting a challenge before every one of us to now. Because I thank God, Paul knows that our own sinfulness is one of the challenges of obstacles that we encounter when we try to live out these commands and these exhortations, these directions that he has given to us. He understands that he will still, every one of us, there'll be times that we will struggle with sin as believers, and that sin sometimes checks us in our zeal to live distinctively as Christians, amen. And so I tell you, every one of us, as we go through the reality of life today, each and every one of us, and we've got to be aware of the challenge that we face in the terms of both the opposition and the allurement of the world. And on one hand, the world does not want you as Christians to live distinctly as Christians in, listen, the world. But much of the world considers that a threat. And if you think distinctly as a Christian in this world, if you attempt to live distinctively as a Christian in this world, it is entirely possible that someone will lump you into the category as some other religionist that's out in the world, but you are a born-again child of the King, amen. And so each and every one of us, when we go through life, here the Apostle Paul is aware of those obstacles for a Christian and more to living the Christian life. But the obstacle that he holds up before our eyes in this passage, he tells us right here in Ephesians 6:10, and I thank God on further, amen, that it is an obstacle about which we are often unaware, but it is a hidden prime reality about which no Christian can afford to be ignorant about. It is the obstacle which, especially in the wake of enlightenment, every one of us, as we look in the minds of Christians tonight, and I thank God that obstacle that Paul is deadly serious as he calls our attention to it, and I thank God you'll be relieved to know that that every one of us have, as we look at the message tonight, what God has in for us, as we look at these obstacles, praise God, that he tells us that we've got to be able to be strong, amen, and go forward in the word of God, amen. And so here, each and every one of us, as we look, one of the first things that we're talking about tonight is the soldier's charge, amen. But I thank God he says, you are in a war zone. And I thank God each and every one of us, when we look at that, anything that is undermining our witness to the world right now as evangelicals, it is the failure, listen, to realize that you are now at war. And I think that there's a sense in all of us that thinks that there's a possible right now with the world that we can negotiate a peace treaty with the world right now. And the Apostle Paul is reminding every one of us in this passage that the whole of our lives between now and the coming of Christ is a war. Until the Lord comes back, you're fighting a war, amen. And so every one of us, we look at the passage and I think he says, be strong, amen, in the Lord. I thank God. Every one of us, as we go forward, something about as Moses told us to be strong. We've got a challenge these coming days. Paul tells us to put your armor on, amen. Something's coming. Oh, yeah, that's right. Something's coming. Listen, I ain't telling you it might be coming. It's coming for you. Because that is exactly what the enemy does. and it's coming for you. So you've got to battle it. You are in a struggle. You're at war. And the Apostle Paul elsewhere will speak about fighting the good fight. And this is not a distinctive thing to Apostle Paul. Paul was simply echoing the words of Jesus Christ, who in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, said to his disciples, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on this earth, but I did not come to bring peace, but a sword," he said. And so I thank God. Listen, this is precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of. We as Christian disciples, until his coming, are situated in a war zone. And we're at war right now. And the failure to realize that has a crippling impact upon every one of our disciplines as men and women of God. I say very quickly that this war that we're talking about is utterly different from any other that you'll ever face, praise God, because it will attack your family personally. It knows everything about your weaknesses, amen. But I thank God when we begin to come together and recognize the warfare that is against us, amen, that is against our neighbor and all that we're up against, amen, your homes and all of your family, amen, as we go forward, amen, that you're in that war zone. And so Apostle Paul wants us to understand that our Christian discipleship is lived out not distant from the battle lines, but right on the front lines of a hot war. And we got to realize that that the reality ought to change everything, because that's the first thing that I want you to see, that you are in a war zone, amen. But I thank God, secondly, your strength is inadequate for this war that he's telling us. He says finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so every one of us, as we look at this and realize that you do not have the power to wage this war. I think God is a very interesting thing, because the Apostle Paul has spent much time in this book telling you what you are in Jesus Christ, telling you that you are of an enormous resource of the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. And you can become what you were meant to become, praise God. And so I thank God, every one of us, if you'll just listen to that Holy Spirit that indwells you. And I thank God, as Paul suddenly tells us not to pay attention to those realities which we have been speaking about, especially in back in chapters 2 and 3. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And his emphasis here, he's asking you and I, that if you realize that you need the Lord's strength to win this war, if you realize that you are not in and of yourself up to this particular battle, that this version, I thank God that here we go forward. And I thank God as we go forward to do, we have limitations. Every one of us. But Paul is saying to Christians here, you need to know your limitations. You're not up for the context of discipleship that I'm about to unveil to you. I tell you, I remember watching back in the old day of Clint Eastwood, the Dirty Harry. You know, he talked about a man's got to know his limitations. Well, Christians, you better know your limitations, amen. Because every one of us, when we look, and let me back it back up, and he tells us that we've got to be strong in the Lord and in his might, praise God. And so I thank God. He tells us that our strength must be in the Lord because of what he's about to tell us. What he is about to tell us must be frightening indeed. But I thank God, he goes on and he begins to tell us that next step, that you need divine armor for protection in this war, amen. Because here he tells us in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, amen. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, amen. I thank God, here he begins this third thing that I want you to see tonight, that as we put on the full armor of God so that we're able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, amen, that you're going to need God's armor in order to stand against this enemy. And who is this enemy? This enemy is Satan himself. And the evil one, the one who has tempted Eve in the garden, the one that accuses every believer, the one that will stand hurling accusations against you at the end of time, the one that is opposed to all believers in all ages, he's active. He's the one that is in opposition against you and I right now. And he's the one who causes you to need the armor of God in order to stand firm against him, because there is nothing in God's plan that the Apostle Paul has already unveiled in the book of Ephesians, which Satan, the devil, the evil one, does not want to undo. And so is God going about creating a new society of his people from the men and the women and the boys and the girls from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and causing them to live as an outpost of glory in the present passive age? Yes, he is. Satan is doing his dead level best to destroy that work. He's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to destroy your home right now. He's trying to destroy everything about you that you hold dear. And Satan is doing his dead level best to destroy that work. And so if you're a part of that new society, if you're gathered to the people of God to live and to serve and to worship like we are today, then you're in the bullseye of Satan's attack. And because he desires to destroy you, that new born-again Christian, that body of Christ that's out there in America fighting the battles every day that God is building, God has broken down the dividing walls between his ancient people and the Gentiles and brought them together on the same basis to live in harmony and holiness in the world as a witness to the fact that if God can bring them together in one family, God can reconcile anyone to himself. Yes, that's what God is doing. Satan, where God has broken down the dividing walls, will attempt to rebuild them. And so, if you're a part of that wonderful family of God out there today, the born-again believer that God is building, God is telling you that Satan is going to do his best to undo what the Lord is doing each and every day. He's a copycat. He's a fake. He's the one that is the false of all false and anti of every kind of anti. Is God working so that the reconciled and the redeemed will live together in harmony and in the purity of his church? You better believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He is. And where he is, you can be assured that Satan, the devil, is scattering the seeds of discord and sin. And I tell you, are you trying to live out the call that the Apostle Paul has issued back for us as husbands and wives back in Ephesians 5 that I preached about last time as parents and as children in your home? Because that is the force of your defense, amen. That we're strong each other, a husband and wife, sons and daughters, amen. We got to be aware that the devil, Satan, the evil one, will be doing his best to destroy every one of us. And so we've got to seek to be faithful as Christians, men and women in this world, in the marketplace, acting with integrity, showing love and compassion, being a person of righteousness and justice. And I thank God we'll be certain that Satan will do anything that he can to ruin you, to destroy you, to corrupt you, to turn you, and to break you. And the apostle is telling us here tonight that against this kind of opposition that we need the full armor of God. And it's no wonder that the apostle Paul is going to spend so much time in this passage talking about prayer. Amen. Because what is prayer but an acknowledgement that we do not have in and of ourselves what we need in order to live the Christian life, praise God. We must hold our hands out and receive it from God Almighty. And so also the Apostle Paul, he tells us that we need the Lord's strength and we need the Lord's armor if we're going to be able to stand against the devil, because we need the protection from this enemy. Amen. That spiritual warfare that all of us are going through tonight. And so I thank God, our enemy's name, amen. Fourthly, he tells us that you're never to underestimate our enemy, amen. Every one of us, as we look tonight and realize that as we put on the armor of God, once the believer is strong within, then he's ready to be clothed with the armor of God. But note, no amount of armor is worth the material it is made of unless that soldier has the heart to fight. The believer must be strong in the Lord before he can be clothed, listen, with the armor of God and begin to wage war against the foes of life. Once a man or woman has the presence and the power of God within his or her heart, it is then that he begins to arm himself to wage war against the spiritual enemies of life. But note the most critical point. He or she must put on the whole armor of God, leaving nothing out, every bit of it. I won't get into it tonight. I'm just getting started tonight. But if he or she leaves a piece of that armor off, he or she exposes him or herself to the enemy and stands a good chance of being wounded and perhaps killed. And the charge is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Fail thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, says Isaiah 41:10 from the Old Testament. Praise his holy name. I thank God. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Amen. And so I thank God. The call to never underestimate your enemy is what he says. You never underestimate your enemy, praise God, tonight. Fourthly, you are in a war zone. Your strength that is needed is the strength that is needed in order to win this war, the need for divine armor, for protection for this war, and lastly, the call to never underestimate your enemy. Because what does he say? put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, amen. Our enemy's nature. He's a shrewd enemy that he talks about, amen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Boy, I thank God. The last thing the Apostle Paul wants to remind us that we need to understand that our opposition is not ultimately human, and therefore we're to never underestimate our enemy, amen. And so I thank God. Here, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Here in verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul tells us three things in particular about the enemy who is arrayed against every one of us. The first thing that he tells you is that he's powerful. He stresses the power of this enemy, even with the words and the terms that he uses to name the enemy, the rulers, the powers, and the forces that he was talking about. As I back that up, amen, that he's talking about the wiles of the devil. And so I thank God he tells us that this is a powerful enemy that is arrayed against us, and it is so important for us to bear two things in mind simultaneously. The schemes and the wiles, number one. Secondly, the cunningness of the evil are not an excuse for us to say, well, the devil made me do it. We've got to be able to realize how that he comes at us in these ways, amen. There's not an excuse for us to blame the shift of something else. There's not an excuse for us to take no responsibility for the daily discipline of growth in grace. But at the same time, while they're not an excuse, we live at the pearl that if we do not acknowledge the reality that there are things afoot bigger than just the human level in all of our lives tonight, listen, they manifest themselves in our conversations, in our relationships, and perhaps those things are afoot in the estrangements that exist in our families, amongst friends, and perhaps these are things that are afoot in the temptations which are facing our children, even in our own time right now. We dare not underestimate the power of forces that we're up against and the power of that evil one, of Satan himself. And that leads right to the second thing that the Apostle Paul tells us about these forces, that they're not only powerful, he says they're wicked. How does that tell you? They're wicked. And so as we look and realize of the wickedness that we're up against, the Apostle Paul says spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. They're not righteous. They are not God glorifying. They're not Christ exalting. They're not upright. They're not in accord with all those things which are good and beautiful and right. No, they're forces of wickedness I'm talking about tonight. They desire to break down goodness. They desire to oppose righteousness. The business of them is immorality, and their business is rebellion, because to your family, they want to destroy everything about the goodness and the holiness that you have. That's why I started off talking about holiness of the ones that we were talking about earlier, about Augustine, amen, about Dr. Malcolm Kroc, of all the things they were saying, because we've got to practice holiness. We've got to get it in us every day. And so, young people, it's so important that when you feel the tug, when you feel the urge to do that which is wrong, that and with that urge is always the intent that the evil one is to undo you. When Eve encountered the evil one in the garden, he told her that the way of blessing was the way of disobedience. Now, that is the way of wickedness. The idea that in order to have satisfaction and fullness and meaning and blessing in life, I'm going to disobey God. I am not going to go God's way. I'm going to go my own way. That's how the enemy tells you. I'm going to find my own path. I'm going to do it my way. You know, that's exactly how the enemy works in all of us, that he wants you to go against the forces and the plans of God and to try to bear out on your own strength. And listen, every one of us, notice the third thing. The Apostle Paul says that they're not only powerful, they're not only wicked, but they're cunning. Because here, he tells us back in verse 11 that we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, amen. But I tell you, I thank God, he says that we're to stand firm, amen, and against the schemes of the devil. I thank God that that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand firm, he says. And so I thank God every one of us The apostle was reminding us that the devil is an extremely ingenious enemy. Listen, you know what? Even the Michael, the high angel Michael gave respect to the devil when it came to the time of when they hid the body of Moses, that even he gave respect to the devil. I'm going to tell you something. Without the help of the Lord, amen, there's none of us that can win this. And so as we look and realize how powerful that this is, every one of us, one of the things that we go through today, the Christian life, I'm not trying to tell you that it's easy. We have our own sinful tendencies to deal with. We have the baggage of having to deal with other people's sins against us and being amongst a people with unclean lips out there. And we have the problems and the challenges of a church that sometimes lets us down, that's imperfect, that's filled with sinners and sometimes disappointments. You say, are you a pastor talking like? I'm telling you the reality of life tonight, amen. And we have the opposition and the allurements of this world out there today. But underneath all of these things, the Apostle Paul says, there's Satan and there's the devil. And against him, there's no earthly resistance. There's no armor that can protect us but the armor of God. And that is why that we're taking this word of God, because when the Apostle Paul tells you to be strong in the Lord, in his strength, and to put on his armor, he means it. The Apostle Paul himself knew the opposition of Satan in his own life, and these Ephesians had seen the power of the evil one. Do you remember when the Jewish exorcist in Ephesus had attempted to cast out demons using Jesus' name? You read church history. Even though they didn't understand the significance of that name, and the demons came out from the demons that they were attempting to exorcise, and they drove these exorcists out of the city of Ephesus, naked and battered, these Ephesian Christians had seen the power of the evil one at work, and the Apostle Paul still had to tell them to remember the wiles and schemes and power and cunning wickedness of the evil one himself. How much more do you and I need to remember the power and the wickedness and the cunningness of this evil one and the war in which we find ourselves today in America? And so as we go forth as Christian soldiers, the warfare is not human or physical, but it is spiritual. And I thank God as we wrestle, he says, Paul uses a Greek athletic term that defines a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to press and hold down his antagonist and hold him down with his hand upon his neck. And when we consider that the loser in the Greek wrestling contest had his eyes gouged out with resulting in blindness for the rest of his days, we can form some kind of conception of the Ephesian Greeks' reality in Paul's illustration of this tonight. The Christian's wrestling against the powers of darkness is no less desperate and fateful, because the point to see is that the believer's struggle is not against flesh and blood. His foes are not human or physical. They're spiritual forces that possess unbelievable power. And I tell you, the believer fights against principalities, against power, and against the rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness that reveals the very clear things that the forces of evil are powerful forces. The thrust of this very enormous power of evil which stands against every believer. And so, as we get ready to close out tonight, we'll get into the spiritual weapons and equipment next time, amen, and begin to go into them. But I hope and pray that as I get ready to close out tonight, that all of us, that what we're up against today, God has given us everything that we need to go up against this enemy and to be able to defeat them, amen. The powers, the authorities, the demons of Satan in the lower atmosphere, the rulers of darkness of this world, amen. Satan and his demons. He's given us the power, amen, because it's a jungle out there, but the Apostle Paul was saying it's a jungle in here. And the Apostle Paul was saying that why are we always surprised about that? What does it always catch us by surprise? We need to live exactly that tonight. And I pray that as we go our separate ways, that we become holy and accomplished by faith and ask Jesus to take us and give us everything that we need, because we're in a war zone tonight. And I thank God every one of us, as we go forward, each and every one of us have a battle that we fight, and you will lose eternal rewards if we lose. And so we want to keep and win the battle. We'll fail to achieve God's purpose for our life. And some of us may lack confidence and assurance, But God has given us everything that we need if we'll put every bit of that armor of God on. Before you get your cup of coffee in the morning, I thank God, put on the whole armor of God. If we lose our confidence and we shrink back, you're going to fall into sin and old habits that you've already beat and won ground for, praise God. And so we have the assurance of our salvation. We have our identity in Christ. And if Satan can get us to be unsure of God's promises and to forget who we are and why we're here, listen, then he can continue with his plan without opposition, but we have an assurance of our salvation. Amen. I'm glad that I know I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank God we don't have to fear and we don't have to give in, praise God. We have everlasting life that is a gift that has been given to us by believing on Jesus Christ. Our performance and our obedience has no effect on our salvation. We took Jesus at his eternal promise. And because of that, our identity is locked and loaded, hallelujah, in the army of the Lord, amen. And so every one of us, as we close out tonight, that as we go forward, his Holy Spirit putting his seal upon us, guarantee our full redemption and our complete salvation. Thank God that he's given us that the Holy Spirit living inside every believer in God's permanent seal of promise. Hallelujah. Described as the earnest of our inheritance that he talks about in the Word of God. Amen. Earnest is that partial payment that guarantees the full payment will come at the future time when you buy a house, you put down a small sum of money. Amen. The earnest deposit, praise God, that guarantees that the full payment will come at a future date. Boy, when we believe in Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which God says in his guarantee that he has fully redeemed us for the future date. And the entire New Testament, I thank God, is the example of a believer in Christ being, I thank God, given the victory from here on out, praise God, because we've been sealed by his blood of the Lamb, amen. And so I thank God. What did he tell us in Revelation as I close out? And I said that a couple of times, but this is it. I get fired up, praise God. Revelation 3:5 says, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Amen. Boy, I thank God, every one of us, our names have all been recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Jesus said that the one who overcomes will never lose their salvation. Their name will never be blotted out of the book of life. Amen. They are eternally secure. And that's exactly what it's making a statement. Amen, is what he said. I will not blot out. Amen. You've got the assurance. He says, your name is guaranteed in the Lamb's book of life. It will not be blotted out. Hallelujah. And so when the enemy comes for you, you've got the assurance. He says in 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. And we do not overcome by our own efforts, by working and striving to be obedient to God, to live as a good person and walk before him without sin. No, that's not how we overcome. We overcome simply, I thank God, with the means that every one of us, that we were a sinner before God, that God is holy and his penalty for sin is death. But I thank God, each and every one of us, believing in Jesus Christ means that what makes us an overcomer, we overcome the world not by our good works, but by believing in Jesus, God's Son, as a complete sacrifice for our sins and for all who believe, who overcome. Jesus promises that he will never blot your name out of the book of life. 100% assurance of salvation. And so I thank God. I hope and pray. He tells us in the little book of Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, praise his holy name, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen tonight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight with his abundant mercy that he's given all of us tonight as I get ready to leave out tonight. Who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Boy, I thank God tonight. I can't wait to get back over and get into all of the equipment of the armor of God. Some is for defensive, some for offensive, amen. When we take up the word, the sword of the Spirit, amen, the Word of God, and yield it each and every day as our put on the armor to defend us. We'll get into that next time unless the Lord comes back. I want you to keep on looking up and keep moving forward because God has given you everything that you need to become what you should become, praise God. And so each and every one of us as we get ready to go our separate ways tonight. God has blessed us tremendously, and He's given us everything that we need to stand tall and firm in the family of God. And so here tonight, as we get ready to go our separate ways, don't forget that God has given you everything that you need at the time that you need it, because here we have the greatest blessings of all time. If we've heard it from the Word of God, and very firstly from everything that He's given us, amen, faith to become what you believe tonight. You can preach a better sermon with your life than with your lips. Father, tonight, what a great honor to know, Lord, that I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight, and your church will rise up and fight and defeat the enemies that come against their families and against their marriage and their homes and their lives. And Lord, you are our first line of defense that we put on the armor of God. And Lord, as we get more and more, that we realize the greatest thing about all of this that I've told them tonight is the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And Father, the promise that you said that you have given to every one of us, that you'll not blot our name out of the Lamb's book of life. Father, I pray, God, may we turn right around and give that same message to the enemy that tries to come against us each and every day. Father, thank you tonight for the message and the messenger and for this great opportunity to be a part of People's Valley Baptist Church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.